Well, let's just, if you can stand up just for a second, let's acknowledge the Lord. Let's give him the preeminence in our in learning the word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for surprising us today to learn the word, and with signs, wonders, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
We had, maybe seated, and I came up with two articles that, you know, the one on redemption. Has anybody read that? The little booklet on redemption? Okay. That's really so important to renew your mind on that. And then I came up with another one, how the enemy uses your words against you. And boy, that was an eye-opener. So we're going to provide that little booklet to read. It has been an eye-opener and a life-changer for me. And normally I'll just keep reading things over and over and over and over again until my mind is renewed on things. As I was preparing for this message today, we've got an awful lot of time, so I'm going to kind of watch my time, you know, not to overdo it. The Holy Spirit, you know, he keeps telling me certain things. This isn't the message, but I just want to tell you how he's dealing with me. He's telling me to be quiet and to listen. Don't be careless with your talk. Don't speak words that are idle or don't really amount to anything. You know what I mean? Sometimes we just babble about nothing. So that's where he's really dealing with me, in this area of talking and listening. And if there's anything that I want more than anything, is to hear from God. Do you agree with that? You want to hear from God, then you have to start putting yourself in a mindset where you're expecting to hear from God. And just, we can really interfere in our relationship with God sometimes by the way we use our words and the things we talk about. And let me just say this with what the Lord showed me. A lot of talking is unnecessary. That doesn't mean we're not to talk, but a lot of the way we talk is unnecessary. And because it gets us in trouble. And so I'm not there, don't misunderstand me. But he just keeps telling me this over and over. Be quiet and listen. And it does make a difference. It really does make a big difference in hearing from God. He really wants to speak to us. And he wants us, the Holy Spirit wants us to be in, to grow in a much deeper relationship with him. He wants to be our teacher. He wants us to hear from God. And I personally, I don't know anything I value more than hearing from God. You know, the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit comes, which he's already come, I mean, we have the Holy Spirit, he will not speak of himself, but that which he hears. So the Holy Spirit is listening in our behalf. That which he hears, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. So, thank you, Lord. Now, I just want to deal with a few scriptures here about the heart, and we have how the enemy uses your words against you. There's that whole teaching, and it's extensive. Okay, and we are going to provide this little booklet with this in it. You know, I think one of the things we need the most is to learn how to renew our minds, and sometimes our life isn't geared that way at all. And we miss out on the Holy Spirit showing us the truth. But I want to open with Psalm 19:14. This is some of the scriptures that the Holy Spirit was dealing with me about. And now let's look at this for a minute. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, to me, when the Lord starts dealing with me, this is serious. It's something that when he started dealing with me about my pride, I made a commitment to him to yield to the Holy Spirit to convict me when I had pride. It's not a question of whether I have pride or not. It's a question of being sensitive enough to allow the Holy Spirit to convict me the minute pride comes out of my mouth. So I'm kind of, right now, in I call it a covenant, even though it's the reality. Let me put it this way. It's not a new covenant. It's the reality of our covenant. And I feel a lot more productive when I break it down, like the issue of pride. Have I had pride since I made that covenant with God? Absolutely. And he, because I'm sensitive to his conviction, he deals with me right away about it. He enables me then to repent of it so that it doesn't go any further. He corrects me. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit? And so he's done that each time. And it's not that I didn't have pride or fall into pride. It's that he checked me in it. And I repented of it. And I'm really grateful for that. We're not just left alone. We're not on our own, and I'm really grateful for that. Now, this scripture, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So I ask the Holy Spirit, when the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are not acceptable in thy sight, I'm asking you, Lord, to convict me. So the words in my heart don't get out of control. You know, and I do quite a bit of meditation, you know, and sometimes thoughts come to me and immediately I say, no, we're not going down that line, that road. We're not going to think along that line because it's not right. I just stop it right there. So again, I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit because you're a spiritual being and you are, words are a part of your life. And I want to grow in the fact that I am pleasing God with my words, using my tongue properly, not allowing my words to be used by Satan against me. And he will. And, you know, so since I've studied out the how the enemy uses your words against you, I've been reading this over and over again. I've just noticed most of all my own words. I really don't want to sit there and judge other people. But what I'm saying is you can't help sometimes to see what people are saying, especially when you're aware that you need to watch what you're saying. You need to guard your words. And and a lot of times people don't realize that they're agreeing with the enemy by giving him place in their life, and they don't even know they're doing it. So, you know, in no way am I trying to be the judge. God is the judge. But, you know, they end up defeated because of what's coming out of their heart through their mouth. So now we look at Psalm 139, 23 and 24. We look at a prayer. Isn't that wonderful? Here's a prayer that we need to pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Isn't that powerful? That's a prayer. That was a prayer David prayed after multiple failures in his life from things that were allowed to take root in his heart and really bring destruction on his life. Say it with me. Search me, O God. And know my heart. Basically, what he's saying there is, let me know my heart. Because you don't even know your own heart. Other than we have a hot heart with the capacity, because it is a born-again heart, it's the heart of a new creature, and we have the capacity to have a pure heart, have the right kind of heart. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it comes automatic, but it means that we need to have an expectancy through the grace of God to purify our heart. You know, you really want a pure heart, but sometimes you're just not unaware of what you're allowing to get in there. Search me, O God, and try my heart. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Is there another verse? Yeah. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now that's a prayer under any covenant. That is a prayer that we should be praying. We should be quiet and yielded to God regarding our heart. You know, the Bible, we hear the scripture all the time, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And, you know, the Bible talks about it, and the Beatitudes, it says, blessed are the pure in heart. Well, being a new creature in Christ, we have the potential to have a pure heart. We could actually say that we have a pure heart, but, you know, perhaps we're not yielding to that pure heart. And then, that's a good prayer. Isn't that a good prayer? Lead me in the way everlasting. We want our desire is to give God the preeminence in our heart. Now, when you're immature, your prayer is God to do everything your way and for you. We live a self-centered lifestyle. You know, and God is telling us to do just the opposite, to lead us in the way everlasting. How many want to walk in the way everlasting? I want to walk in that way. I want to walk in His way. I want to give Him the preeminence in every part of my life, in every decision I make. And I think a lot of times life would probably work out better if we allowed it to go God's way and not our own. You see, and really there's probably, we can't say that there's no such thing as a self-centered Christian. Because we've all been self-centered and we've all wanted our own way. And as we mature, we realize the value and the gift of learning to yield to God's will. You know, we can make a lot of noise and waste a lot of time. I know that you don't know anybody that wants their own way. I know that, but I really want God's perfect will. Isn't that what Jesus taught? You know, he prayed before the kingdom came in that way, but he said, "Thy kingdom come." Well, the kingdom's here, but thy will be done. And sometimes there's a real conflict there. And it creates relational problems, and we want our own way. And then Hebrews 4:12 and 13. Let's just look at that for a minute. That is such a profound prayer in Psalm 139. We need to write that down and put it somewhere on the refrigerator or somewhere, and we need to practice that prayer. I think God is very pleased when He sees that we love Him enough to yield to His purpose for our heart. How many know our heart was made for God? Our words were made for God, to glorify God. That's how, of course, we express our heart, right? So, and then we're going to make guarding our heart a major priority. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it shall flow the forces of life. When we fail to realize that we're a spiritual being, and our words can be very careless and destructive. So we're asking God to guard our heart. We need to make that a major priority. Proverbs 4:23 through 27. Let's look at that just for a moment. Keep thine heart with all diligence. Now, if you're going to be diligent about something, it needs to be important. And I don't think, besides your relationship with God, anything in life is more important than being diligent to keep your heart under your control. That doesn't mean you don't give it God control, but you're responsible, okay, for your heart. And yes, you yield it to God. There were times, you know, that we've all made mistakes. We've all done things that you know, and there were times in my life that the Holy Spirit would manifest Himself and just deal with me. Why are you saying this? Why are you doing this? You know, it's just like with people. They're sometimes our biggest test. I'm just learning that I don't want to curse people, even if they're against me or they're speaking against me. I want to be able to pray for them effectively, not just keep bringing up what they did. That needs to go. If I'm going to be effective in anything, I want it to be effective in praying for people. I don't want to keep confessing what they did over and over again. I want to confess the grace of the Holy Spirit to pray for them and be convicted on what they're doing. And I don't want to be offended about it. We need to get beyond all that. keep thy heart. Say, keep thy heart with all diligence. You know, if there's a place that you're going to make important in your life, you need to make your heart diligent. Diligent means diligent. Keep your heart with all diligence, for what out of it are the issues of life. You could use that issues. So let's go on to the next. I think there was more than the 23rd verse there. Put away from thee. Now here's how, you know, the Bible teaches us to be diligent. Put away from thee a forward mouth. Put it away. Don't practice a forward mouth. And perverse lips put far from thee. Okay, we need to put them far from us. This is not something we allow in our life. It's not something we practice. It's not something we're careless with. Let's go on to the next verse. Let thine eyes look right on. And let thy eyelids look straight before thee. I don't want to sit all day condemning people or looking at what they're doing wrong, or, you know, I don't want to waste my mental energy or my time getting caught in all that stuff. I want to walk in God's purpose, you know. My first priority is obviously learn to listen to God. He is speaking. He is speaking. I don't mean it in a way that he's speaking every second or anything like that, but I want all of our priority to be yielded to what God's saying to us. And I want to look straight ahead, walking in his eternal purpose. Let's look at verse, I think, 27 now, 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Isn't that profound? Establish your ways in his ways. Verse 27, turn not to the right nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You know, I noticed at times in my own walk with God, my own life, that if I get into a conversation sometimes you just get careless and let it go too far, and then pretty soon you're sinning with your lips against a person or there's a time and a way to talk to people, right? If you have to talk about difficult things, there's a place and there's a time. I'm not saying in any way that you just overlook everything. Sometimes you have to talk not only to yourself correctively, but you have to talk to people correctively. And then Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And, you know, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. A person's true nature is defined by inner thoughts and inner intentions. Wrong motives can look like right motives. Now, there are three reasons for valuing your heart. Number one, your heart is the most valuable asset you have in this life. Because it is where you relate to God. It's where Christ dwells in our hearts. This is where you live in your relationships with God. I don't know of anything that could be more important than our relationship with God, and that comes from our heart. That takes place in our heart. It's the most important thing in our life. And then, so we need to value the relationship we have, and like the scripture says, we need to keep our heart with all diligence. You know, I'm really making a priority, and putting the highest value on relating to God. We haven't always done that in our life. There's other things that took the place of God. I'm guilty. A lot of times it's that temporal things aren't bad. It's just that when they take the preeminence in our life, we don't realize that we're neglecting the most important thing that we have, and that's our relationship with God. And then your heart is the source of, obviously everything. Out of the abundance of the heart, what's in there? What are you allowing in there? That's what your mouth is going to speak. God's about abundance, but you don't want to let the wrong things get in the heart. I don't know about you, I love abundance. I'm excited about abundance. And that's what your life is about. That's what you're speaking out, what's in there. Solomon says it is the wellspring of life. It is the essence of who you are. It is the essence of your It is the source of your a successful relationship with God. How many want a successful relationship with God? That all takes place in our heart. The things that God gives us that we need to cherish, just like we need to cherish His word, His voice. And I find that I hear the Holy Spirit or hear His voice when I spend time with Him. I'm not trying to tell you how to spend time with Him, but I try and spend at least if minimum, but Jesus did say, could you not watch with me 1 hour? So I try and get quiet that hour and dedicate it to God. And I know I spend a lot more time than that, but I'm going to be with God and I want to hear from God. I don't, the world will distract you with all this stuff that's going on in the world right now. It can end up being a major distraction if we get caught away in it. And say distraction. There have been so many times that I had to repent for being distracted. So He's the source and essence and reality of your eternal purpose and success. Now, I don't know about you, but we need to live in a way that we're investing in His eternal purpose. That doesn't mean that money isn't involved and material things aren't involved. Doesn't mean that. So the source of everything comes out of your heart. That's what the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart. So, it's obvious to me that the heart was made for abundance. I don't know the times that I kind of felt empty. But the heart is made for abundance. It's made for God's abundance. Say God's abundance. I really believe there's no end to that. And that comes out of the heart. I believe that we have the potential of being excited about our relationship with God. Now, I want to just talk, I want to end with three little things here that about the heart. Okay, that's number three there. Let me see what we got here. Okay, three reasons. Okay, and I want to go back over just for a second. Number one, three reasons for valuing your heart. Number one, we covered that just in general, but because it connects you, you are joined with Christ in your heart. He's our hope of glory. So I don't know how people do it without that. I just don't. And then the source of God's abundance is in there, number two. And then number three, because your heart is under constant attack, that's why we're told to guard our heart with all diligence. Are we really diligent about that? Are we really diligent about guarding the most important thing that we have? Guard your heart. Say, guard your heart with all diligence. I'm just trying to make you repeat the scripture. I can't fulfill it for you. I can cooperate with my own heart. What are you diligent about in life? What are you diligent about in life? You know, you need to answer that question. Not trying to make you feel bad or anything, but I think sometimes we don't think of these things at all. So he's telling you to guard your heart. Okay, let me just say this to make you think a little bit, and I know you already know that, but God gives you that responsibility to guard your heart. I mean, he's given you grace to do that. But that's something that we need to do ourselves in Christ, you know, obviously. He gives us the power to do it, but we need to guard it. Just like I said earlier, there have been times where it was like when I wake up in the middle of the night or whenever, I instantly go into a place where I'm meditating on the Word. I have trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. So I try not to wear myself out trying to figure out God's part. He's going to show me, and I rest in that. You can go into a frenzy trying to make a decision that you really need to turn over to God and trust him with, right? I mean, you're going to try and do it on your own, you're going to be in trouble. There's decisions, of course, you make on your own. They're So Solomon says, guard your heart, but he says, do it with all diligence. I wonder if you think about that every day. You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll be meditating on Scripture, and then all of a sudden a thought comes in there. And I just say to the devil, I'm not going there. Look, you have the grace to say that. I'm not going there. I am not going to take this thought and follow through on it. Where is that going to take you? See, you're in a combat zone. Your mind is under constant attack, and that's how Satan has access to your heart, by attacking your mind. We're all under that attack. We're all in a warfare, and we all need to fight the good fight of faith. You're in a combat zone. Sometimes we think, well, gee, God seems so unfair. With what I'm walking through, and we all have the capacity to fight the good fight. Say the good fight. But we cannot be passive. We need to be diligent. And then, of course, Matthew 5, I think 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart. How do you, we have the capacity, we have the new man. Let's just talk about the new creature in Christ just for a minute, because we're under a different covenant now. In a sense, in a legal sense, we all have a new heart, a purified heart, but we're not all yielding to the potential of that heart. Okay, let's just put it that way. If you knew that you had the capacity to walk in a pure heart, you know, when you're God's child, God's son, you don't want to walk in an impure heart. You don't want to allow the carnal nature to take over that heart, right? You really don't. And you know what? When you do it, you feel real bad. That's why Solomon talks about guarding your heart. You're in a combat zone, and you need to fight the good fight of faith. Does that fight of faith, does it ever really let up? You know, there have been times where, you know, in my own walk, I just gained strength in areas where the devil's attack on my mind didn't bother me anymore. I knew that those thoughts were defeated in my life. And I didn't even think about them anymore, in the sense that I'm going to even entertain it. Oh, this is, Satan, you're defeated in this area. So that's kind of how I look at the new covenant, that we have the legal right to have a pure heart, but we need to now make it a loving right. We need to make that the reality. The grace is there. It isn't something you're necessarily have to do to get it. It's something that you have to believe you have, and you have to walk in what you have, right? Well, let's stand up for a minute. I went longer than I thought I would. I talk slow sometimes. I want to make you think about it. You need to think about what God is saying. This isn't what, none of this is what I am saying. So just remember, we're going to come out with our, eventually we're going to come out with how the enemy uses your words against you. And this is a tremendous teaching. And, you know, we're going to put it out in a little booklet form. So Let's raise our hands right now. Hallelujah. Thank God for His healing grace, His amazing grace.